For again, I don't know if I said my name, but I'm Reverend Tamara.
I
Okay, I did already. I just
don't
like to hear my name over and over again,
know.
right? Isn't it always about me, right? I first question I want to ask everyone is, how did you do with your homework last week? I was wondering if anybody, how did love show up in your life last week? Right? We were supposed, if we got into a situation that was maybe a bit uncomfortable, we were going to ask ourselves, what would love say here? So I can say I practice it. I even had my husband practice it. But he did, his answer though was, well, if you just wouldn't have said that, then I would be fine. I said, that's not the point, honey. That's not the point. But that was okay. He came around. He came around. And that was him rummaging through my purse. It wasn't some random person taking something out of my purse, just in case anybody was wondering. So I'm going to start with a quote from Ernest Holmes. The riddle of the universe is a paradox. The question is its own answer. For the mind that asks the question is also the mind that answers it. So that's from Ernest Holmes' Living Without Fear. So here at Centers of Spiritual Living, we believe in oneness, even when there's suffering and struggle in the world. We believe that the infinite and the finite are one and the same, and that our mind is that individualized expression of the one. And all these beliefs require a paradoxical mindset, the ability to hold two seemingly contradictory ideas at the same time. And didn't Liv do a wonderful expression of that in her fabulous meditation, by the way? Right? I am one. I am mother. I am father. I am the universe. And it's like when I'm feeling sick, I always repeat back to myself, every little cell in my body is well. I think there's an actual song or chant about that. And it's remembering that everything I need is right there, right now, in each molecule, in each step. So I thought that was great that you brought that in today, Liv. Thank you. With yesterday being the National Day of Truth and Reconciliation, I thank everyone who got the notice about wearing orange. If you had orange, and if you don't, please, it's great. I'm just so appreciative of everybody showing up. And I don't know if you noticed, but today I did our land acknowledgement a little bit different because I started to think about it. And I'm like, so do I really believe what I'm saying, or am I just saying it? Right? Am I really believing it? Am I stepping into it and doing that? And in there, I don't use the word acknowledgement. I use the word I recognize. Because again, even acknowledging something can be a paradox. So I've been asking myself those things. And I was even wondering is about that. So I read in Atlas of the Heart, Brené Brown defines paradox as the appearance of contradiction between two related components. So it got me thinking again. I did a lot of thinking this week. Oh my goodness, my brain hurts. Is when I'm doing that land acknowledgement, I'm giving you information. But that information that I'm giving you is mine and it's the way I see things. So when I say I'm an uninvited settler on this land, you may think, well, that's not true for me, or it is true for me. And that is fine. But that's our ego asking that question. It's when I give you information on something, and even whatever I'm going to say today is information, but we're going to view it through our own lens. We're going to question it and say, is that really true? Isn't it true? But isn't that the paradox? It can both be true. Because what's true for you is there, and what's true for me is here. Inside of myself. So I may question the information as being accurate. And yet, as a spiritual person, what is the thing I'm looking for? I'm looking for, yes, that capital T truth. So that led me to thinking about how there's different levels of words. So the information that I give you, the facts that I give you, that's on the level of my opinion of where I'm at, where I'm experiencing the world. But when we talk about the capital T truth, those things that are unexplainable, that is at a higher level. It is a different level world, as truth doesn't belong to me. It belongs into the universal, that higher order of good, a higher order of reality. So what does this mean? I was playing with it because it took me quite a while to wrap my head around this theme this month of paradoxes. And of course, if I'm always in trouble wondering about what I should talk about, who do I call? Not Ghostbusters, Reverend Terry. So he gave me a book. It's over there. It's called God for All Worlds. And in it, there was a story about a man who is a doctor. And he brought his brother in to the hospital because he wanted him to meet one of his patients. So his patients had ALS. And his name was Mo. So his LAS was quite advanced, and everything he did now, it didn't matter whether he turned over, whether he breathed, it was shortening his life. And I didn't realize that. The more active you are with LAS, the shorter your lifespan becomes. So this doctor also taught medicine, and he used Mo as an example in his ethics class. And I was like kind of interested about that. So the question that he put to his class was, does a doctor have the right to hook somebody up? Because I missed a part of the story. He hooked Mo up to a computer so that Mo was able to communicate. But it took a lot out of him. It was an extra effort. So he asked the class, if he hooks the patient up to this computer system so he can communicate his words, is he entitled to do that? Even though he knows that it's going to shorten the patient's life. What do you guys think most of the students said? No, right? It's up to Mo. Yeah, it's up to Mo, exactly. And so most of them said, no, it's not the doctor's right. But when he asked Mo, because the students said, we're here to preserve life. So the doctor then took them to meet Mo. And within a half an hour, Mo had them all convinced that, yes, they should. They should hook him up to that computer. And what the conclusion that we draw of that is that when the doctors asked, the answer that came was this, that speech can matter more than life itself. Speech can matter more than life itself. And the doctor said, exactly. The word, he said, the word is believe, and it is to believe in the word. So when pain, illness pairs us down to the core, we remain creatures of the word. So believe in the word. And my handy dandy Science of Mind came up, and of course, he has a whole section in meditation on the power of the word. So one that I'll just read to you, because there's quite a few, I won't go through all of them. But there's one that I thought was great, is that the word of my mouth shall bear fruit. It shall accomplish and prosper, and shall not return to me unto me void. My word is the law unto the thing whereas it is sent, and it cannot come back empty-handed. I send out my word, and it is law unto my life. My word is power. And he does say up above in another one, he says, tell the sick that they are healed, and the poor that they cannot want. Tell the unhappy of the joy of the soul, and break the bounds of those who are in prison. My word shall come back to me blessed of the divine and people. So word, our word, and you can think of times in my life, or I don't know if you can think of times in your life where we've maybe misspoke or said something and it's hurt somebody, and we haven't thought about that. And that brings me back to even thinking about our land acknowledgement. If I'm not saying it and believing it and meaning it, then I actually inadvertently could be hurting someone. So what this brought me to is also thinking of Ernest Holmes is what he says about turn away from the relative and go to the absolute when we're in prayer or anything. So I was thinking, well, what does that mean? Because here we are, we're living this human experience. We have the experience of the absolute or of the relative. So what he says is if we go to the absolute, the oneness, that is what my ego didn't want to believe when I was questioning the land acknowledgement, because I have to embrace the damage that maybe we've done and also where we are now, holding those two as seeming opposing thoughts as one. So, but the absolute is defined as in Science of Mind as free from restriction, unlimited and unconditioned. And then the relative is defined as existence only as an object of our thinking mind. So the absolute is the cause and the relative is the effect. So here on this human plane, we're living in the world of effect. We're living in things that are happening to us. They're showing up. We are in response. We respond. We move through it. Where we want to jump off, we want to step into that place of the absolute. So if we can use our jumping off point in that word that I talked about, belief earlier, believe, but what if we believed in a better world? That is actually the absolute. So in order to raise my consciousness, I lean into that belief that a better world is possible. It's kind of like our affirmations. Have you ever used affirmations? And have they worked? Yeah, and sometimes maybe not. Yeah, I like to think, but what is the difference maybe when they work? I found for me, the difference, yeah, somebody in the back said believe. When I am willing to believe what I'm saying, when I'm really willing to embody it, that is when I find those affirmations work the best for me. So I have a question. Can you embrace limitation even if you believe in the greater yet to be? Yeah? Okay, good. This is where our personal relationship with the divine and God or whatever you use to describe that, that is that place, that inner place that we know that truth about us. It is when we believe in the absolute that it goes beyond our comprehension and we know that capital T truth of who we are. That capital T truth of who we are. And it is when we believe in the absolute, it goes beyond our comprehension. And there was a talk between Anderson Cooper, who's, do you know, I don't know if any, I just learned that he's Gloria Vanderbilt's grandson. Oh, yeah. Son. Thank you. I sometimes get my facts wrong, so thank you for checking them. Again, there's that, right? That facts in our own mind might not be truth. So he was speaking with the comedian Stephen Colbert, who lost his parents when he was quite young. And he was quoted about saying that he had to learn to love the thing that he wished never happened. He had to learn to love the thing that he wished never happened. And then he said that, and he asked that, what punishments of God are not gifts? And Anderson Cooper actually teared up and looked at him and said, do you really believe that? And it was great to see Stephen Colbert. He took some time and he said, yes. Because he said, he answered yes because it is a gift to exist. And with existence comes suffering. He didn't learn to be grateful for things that happened, that he had to learn, this is what he said, sorry, let me get this right, because I should put my glasses back on. He didn't learn to be grateful to the thing that happened that he didn't want to happen. What he did is he realized it. He realized if you're grateful for your life, which is sometimes hard to do depending where we're at, he realized that we can't always pick and choose what we're grateful for. Sometimes we have to be grateful for those hard things. as we were talking on Circle this Thursday, Diane and Jill brought a great quote about to live a full, rich life. We have 1,000 sorrows and 1,000 joys. 10,000. Oh, sorry. See? 10,000 joys and 10,000 sorrows. But that is that rich life. It's embracing those things. It's those times when we have our shadow and then we just, no, that's not me. I mean, I had my little, I've done the Debbie Ford work. So I have one shadow that I call Sally, my saboteur. And then I also have Polly, the procrastinator. And, you know, but when I learn to love them, that is really me loving myself. That is me embracing it. And then I can show up in my fullness, in that absolute, believe in that better world. So there was another, in that book, there's another story about, how am I doing for time? Oh, no, I don't have time for that. I'll tell you this other story instead. So when I thought about this, being grateful for what we, for all of it, for everything, I started to contemplate the absolute. And then I was like, okay, well, if I can believe in the absolute, I can believe in that better world, I can really step into that. How do I know it's true? How do I know that's true? So I had talked to somebody and they said they'd like to do experiments. They may know who they are. And so I thought about that and I went and pulled up in my thinking cap on and I was like, okay, well, when is that that I could really know that the absolute is true? And then I thought of a moment. I was on Quadra Island. It was nighttime and I hope I haven't bored you with the story before, but I was out swimming at night and because all the phosphorescents were in the water. And so I was swimming through, making snow angels in the water. It was just with a group of other women. And then there was a beautiful comet storm. What are they called? Comet showers. Meteor overhead. Shower. Meteor shower. Thank you. A meteor shower overhead. Wow. And at that moment, I was one with everything. There I was in the water, in the light overhead. I still get those God bumps over me thinking about that moment. And that is a moment I'll always know that, yes, there is the absolute. And I talked to a friend and they talked about one time they were just sitting in an apple orchard and all of a sudden everything just seemed shiny. Like there is a little bit of something. And then there was about a young man who was deeply depressed and he was hard to get out of bed. And so he rolled over one day and he looked out his window and he saw a falcon. And all of a sudden, because he had been sad and like, I'm not going to get out of bed today. It's going to be one of those days. I'm probably going to stub my toe, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. But then he's looking and he sees this falcon and he all of a sudden he's watching the falcon swoop and slide and turn and glide. And then he thought to himself, that is the true, that is the beautiful, that is the good. And that's where we, I think if we all think back in a moment of our time, we've had that. Whether it's when your baby is born or whether it's when you're married or whether it was even when you were just out walking in nature and you looked up and saw something and went, wow. So those are the moments of that absolute truth. So there was one other experience I had that really kind of took me to my knees. Has anybody, so even thinking along this lines, have you ever heard of a song you've been, you know, walking along and all of a sudden or listening on the radio and a song that all of a sudden just hit you and you're just almost brought to your knees with what it did to you, to your soul, to how it felt and how Nathan sings, how lucky we are to have amazing musicians that do this, that can bring up those feelings of that absolute. So I was lucky enough today, one day to be in a yoga studio and we'd had a beautiful, relaxing yin class. And it was at the end, we do our wonderful savasana, and I was just blissed out and zenned out, and I was all happy because it was the yin, and I didn't have to move too much, I was stretched. And then I'm sitting there, and the yoga instructor played a song. And all of a sudden, I was in the middle of Savasana doing the ugly cry, people. I mean, snot was coming, tears were flying. I don't know what it was that hit me, but something hit me. My poor husband was like reaching over going, "Are you okay?" And the yoga instructor was checking on me. But it was one of those moments. And I'm going to ask Nathan to help me because I want him to play this song for you that hit me. If you're okay to try
again,
it.
No pressure.
No pressure.
Is there enough Kleenex to go around?
I think so.
For you. I'll get through it. There will be no more crying for you. The sun will be shining, and I feel that when I'm with you, it's all right. I know it's right. For you, I'll give the world. For you, I'll never be cold. 'Cause I feel that when I'm with you, it's all right. I know it's right. And the songbirds are singing, they know the score. And I love you, I love you, I love you like never before. And I wish you all the love in the world, but most of all, I wish it for myself. And the songbirds keep singing, like they know the score. And I love you, I love you, I love you like never before. And the songbirds, they keep singing, like they know the score. And I love you, I love you, I love you like never before.
Wow, Nathan, okay, you guys aren't gonna believe this, but I asked him, do you know this song by any chance? Like 5 minutes, maybe 10 minutes after he got here at 10 o'clock. He goes, no. So thank you, Nathan. And that just, I thought that was a perfect way to end my talk today, because it's those times, those things that we think are those little mundane things, those songs, those little nudges, but really those are the miracles. Those are when we touch the absolute. So knowing that I'm spirit having this human experience, and knowing that there's going to be moments when I'm not able to see my own good or the good of the world, that is when we lean into our belief. That's when we know that the absolute, that it is a better world out there. And you know what? If we can't do it for ourselves, guess what? We have practitioners that will know that truth for you and hold your hand while you may be in that time of need. So call upon them. It is always their privilege. And they'll know that capital T truth for you. They've known it for me many times. So I want to end with a little bit of homework. Because we're living in, I think it's good to have a little bit of homework. I think you guys are going to find this one kind of interesting. So since we're talking about the paradox of light and asking ourselves, do we really believe in a world that works for all, which is our mantra, what my challenge this week for you is, if you're willing to take it, is to imagine you're on trial. I know, right? You're on trial. But you're on trial for being what I'll use the term religious scientist, which is basically the studier of science of mind, somebody who studies science of mind. Studier, I don't think that's an actual word. But anyways, you guys know what I meant. It is those people that practice the science of mind, that thing. And so you're on trial for this. Would they have enough evidence to convict you? Would they have enough evidence to convict you that you walk your talk with this teaching? My mentor, Reverend Terry, asked me that question. So I thought, oh, I'm going to share my homework with everybody else. So think about it this week. You know, am I actually walking my talk? Am I putting that belief in a bigger, better world out there? And if you're not, you can go, oh, okay, take a step sideways and start again and start again and start again. Anytime. It's always just one step in front of the other. It's always those baby steps. So ends, what did Terry always say? I feel like I need to say his, so ends the lesson. So it is. I'll just take it into a quick prayer because I know I'm a little over time, but it was well worth having that song be played for us today. Knowing that there is that one mind, that one love, that absolute place that we are all whole, perfect, and complete. And that we can each tap into that space, into that knowing of that capital T truth of who we really are. That nothing outside of us needs to change for us to be happy. That everything we need is right here, right now. It is up to us to ask, to put that word, believe in the word, put our word into motion. And know the joy of the life that is deserved. The love, the happiness of all that is to be. I am so grateful this time together for this amazing music, for this community, for all the people who put things together to get us here where we are today, and for each of you for supporting this work of Center of Spiritual Living White Rock. So I put these words into the law of mind. I let it go. I let it be, and ask you to join me in saying, and so it is.
So it is.